Good morning, welcome to church. A special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. My name is Young Lan, and helping me in today's service are our musicians, Fiona, Rosemary, and Linda. And reading to us from the Bible will be Robin. Leading us in prayer is Fiona, and Trevor will bring our Bible teaching. So we here at Abbotsford, Anglican Church, are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to His Word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us today. So today's verse is, we all have different gifts, so to share in ministry. Our mission focus in October is ministry with refugees by Cameron and Lara Blair with Pioneers and Anglican Prison Chaplaincy. Sentence for scripture for today we just actually read, but we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So I'd like to invite you to stand and sing our first song, Come People of the Risen King.
Church.
take a moment to greet people near you. And children, leave us now for Kiss Church. Good, are you? Sorry. I'm so focused. So we have come together to meet with God and to take part, I forgot, in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith. Praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us by your Holy Spirit. Enable us to live for you and to please you in every way for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name.
Make known among the nations what he has done.
Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So our Bible reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. Please open your Bible to page 1137. Or follow along on the screen or in your news and notes, and Robin will come and lead us in reading the Bible. Okay.
Okay, our Bible reading today, as Young Lan said, is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith of God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep yourself spiritual. Spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Please keep your Bibles open there to page 1137 in your pew Bibles. It's not been printed out in the news and notes for you this week, so you need to open up your Bibles to that particular passage. Page 1137 in the Bibles that are in front of you in the pews that are there. You can share one between a couple of you. There's not enough to go around. It's great to see you all again. Welcome. Welcome to any visitors that are here with us today and those listening to us online. Let me pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we always thank you that you do not leave us with having to come up with ideas about who you are, as convenient that might be for many people. But you have told us who you are, and you've made yourself clearly known to us in your word, the Bible. In the past, you spoke in many and various ways through the prophets, but in these last days, you've spoken to us once and for all through your Son, Jesus Christ. If we'd lived 2,000 years ago, God, we would have seen you face to face there in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have so caused for us to recognize that Jesus is your Son, that he is the one whom you sent into the world to make us right with you through his life, his death, his resurrection, his atoning for our sins, and his making us right with him, with yourself. And so, Father, we thank you for bringing us into this family of yours, the church, that we might know this hope that we have of sin forgiven and how to live life in all its fullness in relationship with you, with each other, and to your glory. So help me now to teach your word correctly. Help us to engage in what we hear and pray together today, that we may experience your spirit indeed guiding us into truth and applying it to our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you may have gathered already, this is a one-off little sermon, but it's one that comes in at each time around this time of the year to encourage us to see the value of being part of God's family, the church. Just look around, you can pick your friends, you're stuck with your relatives. Sorry, look at me. All right, it's wonderful, but it's great to be. It's a great little service time, a little time in our preaching time to think about the value and the joy of actually being part of God's family, the church, and to realize our responsibility that we have to God and to each other in the life of the church together. And so, we're looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13 in particular, and we're thinking about the topic, as it says here, we all have different gifts, so to share in ministry. Sometimes when we think of ministry, we think, and sharing in it, it's the rector's job. It's him up the front there, or his wife and a few others is there, and the rest of us are like passengers or spectators along the way. And that is a lot of way which people think about the church and ministry. But the Bible certainly makes it this way, that we're all participants. We all have a part to share in the life of the ministry of the church. Each of us have different gifts according to what God has given to us for the benefit of others. I was just saying to Rosemary, it's been a wonderful week in terms of sport. It's been a wonderful week. And just looking back over all the things that have happened, the grand finals a couple of weeks ago. And last night we were watching the footy. And I remember I leaned across to Rosemary and I said, oh, I wish I could play touch football again. I don't like this being a spectator much. You know, I want to be out there playing the game. You know, or if you're watching tennis and you're thinking, oh, I want to be out there playing the game. And I think that's the kind of thing that God would be wanting us, and Paul would be wanting us to think about when we read a passage like this today from Romans 12. Oh, I don't want to be a passenger. I don't want to be a spectator. I just want to be involved in the ministry and the life of the church in whatever way I can, with all the gifts I have. Well, firstly, we need to know where the context is, where this passage fits into the book of Romans. Romans is a wonderful book, isn't it? Just hands up if you've actually read the book. You don't need to tell me if you have it, but if you've read the book of Romans from beginning through to end, I know we did a preaching program on it a couple of years ago. It's a great book for actually grounding us in how we are right with God. And right up to now, up to chapter 11 of Romans, Paul has explained very clearly to the church in Rome how we are made right with God. It's through the person and work of Jesus. And he starts off with the bad news in order to help us to appreciate the good news and then how to live in the light of the good news that we have, that the world doesn't have. And so this starts off by just saying, look, we've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short. If we all stood on the basis of our own ability towards God, God would, and come to him on our own value and our own goodness, our own thing, we would all fail and not please God. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. But God in his great love and great mercy, mercy being undeserved favour, not earned, but undeserved favour, choice, becomes one of us and does everything necessary to atone for us, to make us right with God by taking on himself our sin and being punished in our place, that we might be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. All right? That's the gospel, all right? So that's how you have been made right with God, through the person and work of Jesus. And if you're listening in or listening here today, and that has not been the way in which you've come to God, you're still coming on your works, your goodness, then it's not going to be good enough. It's Jesus accepting his gift, his life, his person, just saying simply, thank you. What can I do now in response to this wonderful mercy? And this is where Romans, in the letter at chapter 12, makes that shift. And in a way, asks that question. So firstly, just turn back over the page to verse 1 of chapter 12. Look back there at verse 1 of chapter 12. You see the big word, therefore, right? Therefore is a really good word to remember in your heads to say, okay, what's coming after this means that I need to take into consider what has gone before. That might be common sense to most of us, but therefore is saying, okay, to understand what has happened now, about to be told, is in light of what has just been said. Therefore, in view, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, right? In view of God's mercy, undeserved favour towards us, the church, right? His children, what are we now to know about ourselves? Firstly, we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. All right, that doesn't sound good news, does it? All right? But living qualifies the sacrifice. It means a life that may well be very difficult, but a one of giving back to God for his glory, one of sacrifice to him. And if we are truly, truly thankful and truly, truly understand the predicament of which we once were in, but now are not because of the work of Jesus, where we were once going, but now no longer going, then I think a living sacrifice is the least we can say to God. Yes, in view of your mercy, dear God, this is how I want to now live. And it's a wonderful thing that we're described here firstly now, holy, right? Your spouse or your partner, your friends or your families may not particularly, your workmate may not think of you as being holy, but in God's sight, because of what God has done for you and I in the light of work of Jesus, you are now holy. God looks upon you as if he looks upon his son Jesus. And that's not because of anything we've done, because that's out of his great mercy and love. He chooses to see us as if looking upon his own son, Jesus. You are now holy. And not only that, it says here, pleasing to God. How often do you sometimes feel not pleasing to God? All right? Failure, not good enough. But in the view of God and what he's done for you, through the lens of seeing us in Christ, he sees you as holy and pleasing to him. He loves you as his children. It's a wonderful privilege and a joy and a motivation to want us to run to our Heavenly Father. Knowing it's undeserved, but we run to him and he says, open arms, and comes back. And we can be in his welcoming arms. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, it's very interesting here that Paul actually talks about worship here. First thing we think of is what we do here now in church. This is worship. Yes, it is worship, but it's worship together in a specific way in terms of gathering together to encourage one another, sing, pray, read the scriptures, learn, be taught, encourage one another. But worship is something we do every day when we give God his worth. That's where the word comes from, worship. Giving God his worth, telling God, being for God in a way that gives him his worth. And how we live, how we think the moment we leave from here is the same as how we do it here, is our worship. That the world and each one of us needs to see us living out the life that we would live here, out there, in the street, in the workplace, in the home. Worship is an ongoing lifestyle, giving God his worth. So offering it as a living sacrifice, knowing that it's holy, knowing that it's pleasing to God, and now this is our true and proper worship. It says, okay, how do we go about doing this? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be like the world. Don't model the world as the way to live. But through the renewing of your mind from the teaching of the scriptures and the work of the Spirit within us, be transformed. And that's what's happening and happening in our lives. Our mind has been transformed to live life according to God's word, the Bible, and God's way. Then as we live that out, we're able to prove, test, and actually see, oh yeah, living life God's way is tough, it is hard, yeah, but it's the right way, it makes sense. I wish everybody lived this way, you know, and then we realize, well, everybody doesn't live this way, but we should live this way. And then we begin to realize the responsibility that we have, that God's given to us in the light of the privilege. We realize what it means to be a living sacrifice. We are Christ's body, Christ's presence, Christ's work here now in the world. Oh, if only the world changed, you know. God make it a little, but he's using us to be a blessing to the world as we point people to Jesus, as we live out lives that mean things, mean the way in which we live. And they see, yes, we hope and pray that they see that, yeah, I want to live life that way too. I want to live the life that those Christians at Abbotsford Anglican Church live. I want to choose to live that way too. What is it they've got that I haven't got? And then you never know, they come up to you and they may say, what is it you've got? Why do you go to church? And there, we don't have to give them a sermon. We can just say a simple thing. We have Jesus. We live life according to God's word, the Bible. Would you like to know more? Come with me one Sunday. Come and introduce you to the minister or to let me pray with you. Little things like that. And so this is the context. It's chapter 12 is a turning point in the letter. And so in the view of everything that God has done for us, how then can we say thank you back to God? What is our duty? What is a way of not earning anything, but just saying, well, what can we do? What do you want us to do now? And this is what we have the passage that Robin read to us this morning. Thank you, Robin. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, firstly, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And so the very first thing that Paul says here is, for by the grace given me, grace. We're going to go through each of these verses rather in depth. Grace is a wonderful word. It means God's enabling, God's gift of enabling to do something. It's a word that actually motivates to action. It's a word that's used to compel, not in the sense of compulsion, I have to do this, but a word that compels us, motivates us. And Paul's saying, by the grace given me, the enabling for who I am as an apostle, I tell you these things. Firstly, I say to every one of you, and the word you there is plural, which means not a singular person, but to all of us, to the church. Firstly, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. So more highly, meaning that you think yourselves above others, that you don't need to be serving someone else, that others should be serving you, right? We don't know the context. Well, we do know a little bit about the context of the church in Rome. It could well have been that there was some very affluent, important people in that church, and have been particularly thinking, well, you know, we don't, I don't serve anybody else. I don't, you know, I get served. You know, I pay this and they serve me. I don't serve others. And so do not think of yourself more highly. So know that you don't, that you shouldn't have this, that the attitude that we have is one of thinking that others shouldn't serve us and we should serve them. But also here it says, more highly than you ought. I like that little bit, ought. It doesn't mean that we don't think of ourselves highly, all right? But not, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Well, firstly, Paul, how ought I to think about myself? And I think here's three things to start with, of which how we ought to think about ourselves. Firstly, through the eyes of God. That's the first thing. If ever we think of ourselves as being not significant or not secure, think of the cross. God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for you and for me. Right? You are a very important person to God. You matter to God. So much so that he was willing himself and his son to take hell instead of us, so that we could have friendship with him forever, now and for eternity. You matter to God. It's not Trevor dying for you. It's not your spouse dying for you. It's not the prime minister. It's not the president. It's not the most popular pop star in the world that's died for you, all right? God in Christ died and rose and victorious and is interceding for you now. You matter to God. So when others and you don't feel very important, or you don't feel very significant by your spouse or others or friends, you know, you just remind yourselves, we remind ourselves, Christ died for me. I'm a very important person. I matter to God. That's how we ought to think, first off. Secondly, we ought to think of ourselves as we ought. There are characteristics and aspects of our lives and abilities and attributes that we have that we ought to be proud about. And we ought to let others say to us, I value this in you, all right? I think that gift that you have is good, you know? And coming to church on time, coming and being here, you know, while we're singing, you know, it's little messages that you give me, you know, is a wonderful thing of saying thank you, and I appreciate that. It's the same thing. We ought to be appreciative of the gifts that each one of us has got and the abilities and contributions. And if you don't... This is why it's important for us to tell each other what we value about each other in the body of Christ. That's how we ought to think. There are attributes and there are also, you know, abilities and characteristics about ourselves that we ought to be happy, ought to be proud about, ought to think rightly about ourselves. Firstly, the way God sees us, the way which we see ourselves, and then also the way others see us. We ought to let others praise us. I used to find it really difficult until one day I got into big trouble by my rector. In my early days as a student minister, at the end of church, the minister used to get me to stand at the back of the church, and Mr. Scrivens would also say, we shake your hands as everybody come out. And of course, everyone was very encouraging, and they're saying, Trevor, that was a really good sermon. And I go, thank you, thank you, thank you. Till one day, one of our gentlefolk came out of the church, and finally it got too much for me, and I said to the lady, well, what did you find good about it, you know? And of which I put her on the spot, you know, and thought, and of which I got a bit of a slap across the back of the head. She says, she's encouraging you. She may not know how to say it, but she's encouraging you. Don't put her on the spot like that kind of thing. But accept the encouragement. Accept the words of praise. See it as a way in which God is saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. He uses each one of us to do just that. So that's how we do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. You ought is how you see yourself through God's eyes, your own eyes, and through the praise of others that are around about you, that appreciate the things that are about you. But rather think of yourselves with sober judgment. Love that word, sober. In other words, it means realistically and truthfully. Realistically and truthfully, without clouded by misunderstanding. Right? So think of yourselves with sober judgment, truthfully and realistically. How God sees you is the way in which to see ourselves realistically and truthfully. And through the honest and sincere loving rebukes, corrections and encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And here is an equalizing statement, a statement of saying we are all one in Christ, no matter where we come from, whether we're wealthy or poor, from this country or this back country, this ethnic background, this culture, wherever it is. God, when he opened your mind and heart to understand the gospel, when he brought you from death to life to understand the good news of Jesus, what he's done for you, that was a gift given to each one of us to put our faith in Christ, to put our faith in God. And that faith was equally given to your sister who's sitting next to you in the pew, to the brother who's sitting next to you in the pew in front of you. It's an equal amount of faith. You either have faith or you don't have faith. That's the story of the mustard seed that Jesus talked about. You either got it or you don't have it. And so each of us ought to think of ourselves not highly or lowly than we ought, but in accordance with the faith that God has given to us. We all have the one faith of trusting in Christ for our salvation, and all have the one faith in God to live for him. So, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and here he comes with a very practical way of explaining this to us, the arm can't say to the foot, I don't need you, all right? You know, and the head can't say to the back, no, there's no good about you. You know, we all have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Right? So, en Christo, in Christ, as the body, the church, amongst each others, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so the emphasis here is not so much on the difference of the gifts, but on the fact that each gift is needed by the other. I need my legs to move my arms to get from here to there, all right? I need my head, all right, to think through, to move my feet in this way. And so the gifts are given so as for each member to realize that we belong to one another. If someone is, and we're going to get talk about the actual gifts that he mentions here, only a small portion of them all, but they're for the benefit of others. We have different gifts according again to the grace given to each of us. A reminder that the gifts are given as a gift, as a privilege, as an enabling from God to do for him. He's not something that comes from within. It might come from within abilities that we have, but the use for it within the life of the church is by God's grace and God's enabling us to do so. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each other. So again, how does God want us to use whatever gifts we have? In your news and notes today, you have the sharing and ministry pamphlets for next year. Boy, the year has going quickly, so quickly, isn't it? It's only three quarters of the way through 2023, and Trevor, you're getting us to think for 2024 already. Well, we've got through to the end of the year to think about how we can share in various ways in the life of the church, and by no means is what's listed there is exhaustive, but each one of us should be able to tick something in there and say, I have a part to play in the life of this church and for its being. So, what are the ones that Paul actually spells out here? He spells out just a few here. If your gift is prophesying, and the word for prophesying there is one, as it was used in the Old Testament, the prophets would get up and say, remember what God said to us? Remember what God said to us? Okay? If we did this, this would happen. If we didn't do this, this would happen. And so prophecy is a drawing back to what the scriptures have said so as to say what God will do or not do into the future. And so when you're encouraging somebody by using, by quoting scripture to them or helping in a Bible study, then your part to play is in prophesying there. Again, remembering the faith that you've been giving, not thinking of ourselves more important than the other, but encouraging one another. If your gift is prophesying, reminding people of what God has said to them and to us in his word, the Bible, then prophesy. In accordance with the faith given to it, use it to build one another up. If it's serving, that it means doing things for others, simple as that, doing things for others, right? Then serve. I love this little, Paul's telling, I can just see the minister there at the church, one of the deacons or the people there, are saying, but that's my job. He's saying to them, let them serve, all right? Let them do that. If they want to do that job, let them do it, all right? If they're doing it for God, let them do it. You know, manage it, but let them do it. Don't stifle them. If they're willing to teach and able to teach, then let them explain the scriptures in the context of Bible study times. Explaining, correcting, disciplining others. Let them do that, all right? If it's to encourage, you know, to build somebody up, to strengthen another in their faith in God, if they're an encourager, for goodness sake, let them be an encourager, right? They may not be a teacher or a prophet, someone who goes about prophesying, but let them encourage. Let them say those words to people that lift them up. And let them receive. If it's giving, and I think I take it here the word giving is not necessarily just in the context of giving towards money, but it's in the giving of time, resources, abilities. If you've got that ability to give, you've got opportunity to give, then give. Give it generously, right? If you've got, I wonder what I'm doing today, you know? I wonder what I can do today, you know? If you've got time on your hand, well, pray. All right, I'm going to give an hour to pray for the life of the church here. I'm going to pray for somebody. I'm going to ring them up. If you've got resources to be able to use more than anybody else has, that's obviously God saying, well, you've got to use it for the life of the church. And it's a good time now that we're planning this in terms of thinking about the future and the years coming. If it's leading, if you're on parish council or if you're like myself or leading a Bible study, do it diligently, not half-heartedly, not out of your own glory or gain, you know, but in such a way that earns the respect and appreciation from those whom you seek to lead. We want leaders who are sacrificial, you know, who have our best interests at heart. We will follow leaders like that. We will indeed. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is a really interesting little point. Remember, mercy is undeserved favour. And when someone comes to you and they need your mercy, they need your forgiveness, it's hard to smile, isn't it? It's hard to be actually happy, to be a point of doing this in a way that's for their benefit. It's telling you, if someone comes to us and needs your mercy, needs your forgiveness, or for you to reach out to them and do something for them, it's undeserved, do it cheerfully. Why? Remember what the last 11 chapters of Romans has all been about. In view of God's mercy to you, do it for them, right? It's the least we can do. Right? Motivated, knowing I'm important to God. He sees, he knows, he rewards. He's pleased. And the last little verses there is such a way that's saying, well, how do we package this? With what kind of mindset do we go about sharing in the ministry together in the life of the church here? Love must be sincere. Love here is this giving of oneself to another without any conditions attached. That's love. That's the way God loves us, and that's the love that we draw on to love others with. Someone once told me, everyone will disappoint you, but God won't. But most of the time, people don't disappoint you, so you're constantly surprised, all right? Okay? So, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil in your life. Cling to doing that which is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Welcome one another. Just imagine if we had leaders like that doing that for you. Imagine if we had, how it would motivate all of us to want to serve them and to serve one another. We can't wait for them to change. We have to change. We have to do it. And that's what Paul's saying to the church. The way God has always done it. Chosen a people out of the world to be here, to be blessed, to be a blessing. Don't wait for the world, to others, to do for you, do for me. Do now for them. Knowing God loves, God sees, God knows. Love sincerely. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In your bulletin, in your news and notes, is a sharing and ministry pamphlet. It's a way in which you can actually do just that between now and Christmas time. The red box is up the back, but the list in that little book, in that little list of pamphlet there is not exhaustive. There's other things that you can do. Write it on there, and I would appreciate that if every one of us could actually fill that in, because we all are in the family. And you may not think that there's much there that I can't do that, I can't. Then write something there that you can. Because in view of God's mercy to you, we all have something to contribute for the benefit of the Lord, for our own encouragement and confirmation of our own purpose, values and contribution to the life and ministry of the functioning of the local church. And it's a way of saying thank you to God. For him having mercy towards us, and it pleases him. That's what he wants us to do. Let me pray. And I hand it back over to Young Man to continue leading us in our time of worship. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts, the abilities, the things that we could just do for you and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. There may not be a word in the Bible for it. We know that it's serving. We know that it's encouraging. We know that it's a means by which we can help in the functioning and well-being of this church, enabling and maintaining of it. It's growing. And so, Father God, help us to fan that into flame and to use it for your glory, the benefit of others, and to know that we're doing something that's pleasing in your sight. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Trevor. It's great to know that the transformative power of Christ is changing us every day according to his grace. So I encourage you to find your gifts and put that into practice for our local church, which is our family here. Okay, so let's read the psalm here together. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forever. Please stand and let us sing the second song, or how good it is. Affirm our faith together. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Blairs and pray that you would help them establish a good work-life balance. We pray for Lily as she sits for the HSC. Lord, may her efforts be reflected in her results. We pray that all of the Blairs would speak and live the message of Jesus faithfully and extend your love to all those they serve. We thank you, Father, for Anglicare prison chaplains. May they delight in regular times worshipping you, being filled with your Spirit and guided by you. Help them know how to bridge the gap between officers and prisoners. Help them persevere when they feel discouraged. And help them be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Lord, for our government, we pray for our Prime Minister, Mr. Albanese, for Mr. Dutton, and for everyone holding leadership positions, that they would not be lured by passing fashions or trends of trying to keep up with other countries. May their lives and decisions be based on righteousness and truth, that Aussies may live quiet, peaceable lives. May they work hard with integrity and communicate clearly. Father, we pray also that our government would listen to and recognise our First Nations people. And Lord, please help them find a positive way forward for everyone in this country. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for your world. We pray for King Charles that he would be a godly leader, and we pray for healing in the fractured relationships in his family. We long, Lord, for your mercy on Ukraine. May that war end soon. We pray as Liberia, Pakistan, and New Zealand are going to the polls. May that be a fair and peaceable process with a positive outcome for those countries. We pray, Lord, that you would stay the hand of evil in Palestine and Israel. We pray for a just resolution soon. We long, Lord, that in the Middle East, you would put a stop to the evil practice of young boys being kidnapped and forced to serve as soldiers. We pray for recovery in Florida after destructive tornadoes. We pray for a helpful way forward in fragile relationships between Canada and India. We pray for wisdom in Bangladesh, how to manage and control an awful dengue outbreak. We long, Lord, that more nations, big and small, would put more effort and energy into being kind and loving and respectful of each other, building each other up and living in harmony. Father, this is your world. Help us care for it better, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Creator God, you made from one man all nations and determined where each should live. We bring before you the Indigenous peoples of Australia. We acknowledge the history that has damaged the relationship between them and later arrivals to this land. Thank you for the steps that have been taken on the journey towards reconciliation. Deepen this process among us. Guide national and community leaders to speak the truth in love, to seek justice with mercy, and to care for those who are disadvantaged. Strengthen Indigenous church leaders to shepherd your flock faithfully, and strengthen all Indigenous Christians to be salt and light in their communities and in the whole nation. Give Indigenous and non-Indigenous believers grace to demonstrate the new family you are making in Christ out of people from every nation, tribe, language and people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for our church and leaders. Lord, cleanse our churches and repair their walls so they may become gardens of delight for Christ to walk in and take pleasure in. May her ministers be faithful and wise, faithful so they do not deceive others, wise so they do not deceive themselves. May their wisdom prevent deceivers imposing on them, and their faithfulness prevent them imposing on others. May their wisdom enable them to discern wholesome food for the flock, and their faithfulness oblige them to distribute it. May our leaders be pure with spiritual aims and intentions, serving not their own honour and interest, but yours. May our leaders show sincerity, not appearing outwardly spiritual while being inwardly carnal. May our leaders be diligent, like men in harvest, like women in labour, like soldiers in battle, watching while others rest. May our leaders lack favouritism, as those who will appear before an impartial God. May they take the same care, manifest the same love, show the same diligence to the poorest and weakest souls in their care, as they do the rich, the great, and the honourable. For all souls are rated the same in your book of life, and our Redeemer paid as much for one as for the other. May their faithfulness fix their eyes on the right end, and may their wisdom direct them to the best means of attaining it. May they lay a good foundation of knowledge in our souls, choosing subjects that will meet our needs, shaping the language in which they address us, using their own affections to move us, being careful of their behaviour. Send them often to their knees to seek your blessing upon their labours, knowing that all their success entirely depends on you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now it's time for announcement, and I would like to invite Trevor to come and share some news, and Rosemary as well.
Over the next 5 weeks, or 6 weeks, I think, we've got a number of guest speakers coming. And so next Sunday, we have a guest speaker from Voice of the Martyrs. Now, some of you actually subscribe to that magazine that's on the mission table at the back too. But our guest from there is Reganio. I can't say his name, it's sort of a Spanish name. Reganio Caswell. And he's going to come and speak to us about the work of the Voice of the Martyrs. And why I've invited them to come and speak to us next week, because of people who have actually subscribed and read that magazine, it is a healthy thing for us to look beyond our own local church and in Australia to the needs of our sisters and brothers throughout the world that are less that are challenged in their faith and to be encouraged by what we hear from them. The week after that, for the next 3 weeks after that, Cameron Blair is coming and being our guest speaker. He's going to take us through the first couple of books, the first couple of chapters of the book of Daniel. And we're going to be looking at those great stories of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and that's those stories. And he'll be our guest speaker over that time. David then Anthedes will come in the end of November and open the Psalms, one of his favourite psalm to us, and remind us again of how we can pray for him and his work in the local hospital here at Concord. And he just loves, again, connecting with he and Michelle, with you all here, so that whenever we do have a stint over there, we have a friendly face that we can see over there. And then our Bishop Michael and his dear wife Felicity are our guest speakers on the last Sunday in November. So a number of things happening in this time coming up. Again, it gives you a wonderful opportunity to hear other speakers coming and opening God's word to us. For all of those, I encourage you to come to church ready and encouraging to them as they will be to us as well. Rosemary.
Again, just bringing your attention to our gingerbread house making day, which is on the first Saturday in December. The information's up on the back table for you if you can start thinking and praying about who you'd like to bring along to that. It's a great opportunity for outreach. So regardless of whether you eat or don't eat a gingerbread house with all those lollies on it, please think about somebody that maybe you might even like to come along and make one to give as a gift to somebody. It might be a neighbour who you feel might like one, if they have grandchildren or something like that. So there are lots of opportunities and reasons why you need to come and make a gingerbread house. It's going to be a great day. I've got a response back from a couple of people who'd like to be a group of people who are going to be helpers on the day, because we need lots of hands on deck to actually sort of help organise the day. So, and I'll be contacting those people during the week with a time that we're going to get together and have a little think about it. So if you're interested in helping out on the day, then if you can come and just have a word in my ear, that would be great. Thanks.
Loan bullying slap? No, it's nothing. Okay. So thank you for all those who give regularly to this church to support our ministry here. Let's go to the next one. So today, if you would like prayer after service, Fiona and Jeff, are you here? Yeah, would be happy to pray for you. So please come to the front of the church. Okay, so I know that COVID still is, you know, going around. I know some people who are sick. So it's better to keep the, you know, safe distance and the practice COVID safe, I think. Right, so the last song, yeah, is We Are One, and yes, please stand and let's sing the last song. I'd just like to do a special prayer for Israel because someone in our congregation asked that. So if we can just pray together now, that would be great. Well, Father God, there has been over 1,000 deaths and 3,000 people injured in Israel in this horrible massacre. And around 700 people died, children. Oh Lord, we come to you with this heart that's just breaking for people in Israel and also in Hamas, God. And we just lift them up into your hands. May your grace and mercy be upon them to comfort them and to heal them and to recover from this terrible tragedy that has just changed the world forever. And we pray, Lord, Israel, that you called the Son of God, be protected. And we know, God, that you will work through this terrible situation for your good. So we just pray, Father God, that anyone in this church, as well as other people who have relatives and friends and family in Israel who have to decide to leave the country or not, may your wisdom be upon them. And Father God, we pray out of all this that you may glorify, you may be glorified for your kingdom, God, as in heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honor you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So please join for morning tea, and thank you, and God bless you. Bye.